Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show was created to inspire, motivate, and educate people who've decided to pursue a career in the entertainment industry. And we've selected guests that work in various professions of show business, and they're at various stages, different stages of their career. So what that means is that you're going to hear from celebrities, behind-the-scenes award winners, and for those of you just starting out on the yellow brick road of success, or show business at least, we will bring you the novice or the beginner in the industry to get the real scoop on the trials and tribulations associated with various professions. Now, we've been on the air since 2008, and we have had some pretty impressive entertainment industry professionals on our show, and I highly recommend that you go to our archive page on our website and check them out. And now for each guest, we put a brief bio on there, and we have their website address, and of course, right on that page, you can either listen to their interview instantly or download any of the shows. So to do that, go to the LA Talk Radio website, latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website. It says Channel 1. Scroll down and look for our graphic, Question Reality, and click the link. And that takes you directly to the archive page. And you will enjoy it. We have some really fun shows with great people. You're going to love it. So just scroll down and find someone you like, and you can play the show instantly. And if you really love it, you can download it onto your computer. So yay. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. And we're on Stitcher.com. So just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box. And then you can also download the free iPhone and Android apps that we have. That is on our homepage of the website, latalkradio.com website. And you can listen to not only our show, but they have so many other great shows on LA Talk Radio. So check them out, and you will find one that you love. Maybe even two. Maybe three. You never know. There's some really good ones. Now, if you want to find out about our future guests, you know, you have to go to our official website, which is a totally different website. That is the Question Reality radio show website. So that is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com. We are booked until, actually, we're into February of next year. I just love it and appreciate you guys so much. The show has become so popular, and we have a waiting list. So thank you to everybody who wants to come on the show. And we've just had a great time for all of these years, and we thank you. So if you want to come on the show and you work in the industry on a professional level, email us, send us all the information, and we'll check it out and hopefully get you booked on the show. All right. Now, we have, as always, this is not an isolated incident. We have a fantastic guest for you today on the show. I know a lot of people, when I announced that Erin Gray was coming on the show with Mara Pearl, I've gotten many, many emails, and people are so excited to talk about so many things with her being on Silver Spoons. I got a lot of emails for that. But unfortunately, Erin Gray could not be with us today. She had to fly to London. Mara can tell us why, but she will not be joining us today. However, she will be joining Mara Pearl, hopefully in a show, in an upcoming show. So we're going to try to coordinate that for you. So I will be sending out emails when she's coming back on the show, and I apologize. But Mara is more than you could possibly want to hear. So we're going to have a great show. Now, Mara Pearl is an actress, a writer, a producer, and an author. And I want you to go to her website now and check it out. It's marapearl.com, MaraPurl.com. And she's also on Facebook and Twitter. She's all over the place. She's there. So just type in her name and you will find her. Let me tell you a little bit about Mara. She grew up in a theater family and she performed in her first professional play at age 5 and began co-starring on her first television series at age 9, which was a weekly drama called Teach Me English on NHK TV in Tokyo. And Marla went on to play the character Darla Cook on Days of Our Lives. We love Days of Our Lives, which led to her creating her own soap opera for radio called Milford Haven, USA. Now, this radio show became the first American radio serial broadcast by the BBC, and it gained an audience of over 4.5 million listeners, which helped her to pioneer women's fiction in her Milford Haven novels based on that radio drama. And Mara Pearl's also a journalist who wrote for Associated Press, Financial Times of London, and Rolling Stone magazine, just to name a few. And Marla has co-authored the book Act Right and is now a best-selling author with over 23 literary awards to her credit. My God, that sounds incredible. Wow. So without further ado, let's get her on and talk to her now. Marla, what is going on with those 23 literary awards to your credit? What is happening in your world? I mean, my God, people are lucky if they get one in their lifetime. 23. What's going on, you little bogle? Wow.
Well, I feel very, very blessed. I certainly do. You know, it's encouraging, right? I mean, having a life in the entertainment business, we all know, is not easy.
Right.
And most of us, most days, most weeks, most months, you're dealing with rejection and, you know, thanks anyway, and no, we can't use you, and no, we don't like your script, or whatever. So when you get some encouragement, you know, you really hold on to it. I have in my house, I have what I call the gratitude wall. And I think sometimes people come over and say, well, aren't we a little bit full of ourselves? But really, the reason I have whatever it might be, you know, an article, a photograph, or something on the wall, it's like, thank you. Thank you for that moment. I appreciate it. That encourages me to keep going.
Yeah, it's like a vision board. We all need to create vision boards, or how are we going to maintain our vision? If you don't see it, sometimes it's not there. Now, let's go back. Let's go back. We want to know everything, Marla. So let's start from the beginning. Now, stop. Now, let's go on. Now, you grew up in a theater family. Tell us about your theater family.
Oh, well, first, let's see. My grandmother was one of the founders of Actors Equity. And she had an interesting life traveling by train, going from city to city, working in the theater. And she was quite well known in her day. Beatrice Savelle was her name. And she and her husband went their separate ways. Her husband was a song and dance man, my grandfather, who I really didn't get to know either of them. But it was a different kind of performing, and I think that was why it was difficult for them to stay, you know, one person.
Like it was like maybe vaudeville?
He was a vaudevillian, yes, and she was a so-called serious thespian.
Okay.
So my dad grew up traveling from place to place by train, I think sleeping in the top of a trunk to begin with, and, you know, always around the theater. And so as a younger man, his mother remarried a wonderful theater guy who became his stepdad. And so my father was in the theater. Later, he was a student at Yale Drama School, and although he decided ultimately to have a business career, he is probably where I got the hyphenate thing, because he managed to direct over 100 productions which may approximate what he would have done had he stayed full-time in the theater.
Wow.
So it truly was a passion. Mom was a ballerina, and then she did several films, and then through Dad got involved in theater. Then along came two little girls, and my parents tried desperately to convince us not to go into the business. That worked so well. So, you know, my sister is Linda, and she's a marvelous actress with a great career, which is still zooming along. And
is it Linda Pearl?
Yes.
Linda Pearl, the one that... Linda Pearl, like I know Linda Pearl, my God, that's your sister?
Yes.
That beautiful blonde. Oh, I used to watch her all the time. I wanted to look like her so bad when I was little. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. I had no idea. Wow, that's incredible. I really admired her. I watched her on all the shows when I was little in the 70s and 80s. I just thought she was so beautiful. I was in
awe. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, you're beautiful as well, but I had no idea. We got a blonde and a brunette going on here.
A brunette. The only thing I would say is we both have the pearl nose.
Ah, they did that little cute turned up nose, I remember. See, that's why I wanted to be Linda Pearl, because I loved her nose. It had that little cute turn up at the end, and I said, why can't I have her nose?
And you know,
mother,
of course,
my mother said, save up, and you'll be able to have Linda Pearl's nose.
I suppose, you know, you always want what you don't have.
Yeah.
So here we are trying to be, you know, aquiline and serious and sophisticated, and unfortunately we're stuck with the cute nose. But oh well.
So when you performed in your first professional play at age 5, tell us what it was and how did your mother allowed you to play at 5, and tell us the situation with that.
They were doing, my parents were doing Tea House of the August Moon.
Mm.
And so my dad was directing, and mother was playing the lead, who happens to be a geisha. And my parents both became students of Japanese culture. They had been in Japan during the occupation of Japan, when my dad was in the army working for General MacArthur. Mom actually worked for Mrs. MacArthur. So they had several years in Japan before they had a family, and loved the culture, learned the language, studied the theater, so many cultural aspects of Japan, came back to the States, never imagining that they would once again live in Japan. So when Linda and I were little girls, my dad had a job opportunity which took them back to Tokyo. So that's where Linda and I grew up.
So were you actively seeking like work in Japan, or how did you end up on the show Teach Me English?
Oh, you know, this was a funny story. I was walking across the campus of my school. My school was called the American School in Japan. It was an American school in that the curriculum was American, but there were 40 nationalities in the student body. So it was a really fabulous school. We had, in the cafeteria, you had Muslim food, Hindu food, Catholic food, you know, all these different cultures and languages, and absolutely fabulous. It's an interesting community that I am still connected to. In any case, I was walking across the campus, and I was told that I had to go to the principal's office. And I thought, uh-oh, what did I do?
Mara Pearl, she's such a good little girl.
When I got there, there was a scout from NHK television, and they were looking for young people to be in this drama that would teach English. So it was like a soap opera, and you had to be letter perfect in your script, because there were students following along with a little workbook at home. So no ad-libbing, had to be letter perfect. Anyway, I got the job and just loved it. So it was a great experience. I would be picked up after school. My script would be in the car. I had to study it on the way to the studio. And
oh, my God, you were like a little star. You are
a little star.
And now, how did you make that leap from being on Teach Me English to playing the character of Darla Cook on Days of Our Lives? How did you even get that? Did you audition, or?
Yes, there, you know, there were many adventures in between those two episodes. When my manager called and said that he'd gotten me an audition for Days of Our Lives, I was quite snobbish, to be honest. I didn't think soap opera was serious theater, and I thought, oh, soap opera is beneath me, but oh well, I must
go. Well, that's from having a car at age, what, 9? driving you to and from. You were spoiled by that time.
You were a spoiled little actress. So, but you know, I thought, no, this is what my manager wants me to do. Thank goodness I had the sense to go to the meeting. And I was so impressed with this casting director. She was an older woman, very savvy, been around. And it was an interesting interview. And I came away feeling, wow, I would be really lucky if I got a job working, if that's the caliber of people that work on that show. By the time I walked in my door, my phone was ringing, and it was she. And she said, okay, I have something small for you. If you want to wait, I'll see if I can get you something bigger. I said, no. I would be thrilled and honored to take the job.
Well, so. I have, you know, when I announced you were coming on, and of course I put in there that you were on Days of Our Lives, we got a lot of emails about that, I guess, aspiring soap opera actors. And I want to get one of them in now. This comes from Blair from Brooklyn, New York. And she said, dear Mara, what are some of the pros and cons of being a soap opera actor?
I don't know that there are any cons, truly. And I'm very glad you asked the question. It is a really good question. I believe that working on a soap can only be a good turn for you and for your career. You'll work with good people. You'll develop good habits, namely being on time, learning your lines quickly, learning to adapt. Soap opera is so interesting. It's almost a hybrid between episodic television and theater. So in theater, you don't stop and start. You don't say, oh, I came in at the wrong time. Sorry, audience. I'll try that again. Right? When you're in the theater, you have to go with the flow. You have to think on your feet. And you really have to do that in soap opera, too, because there isn't enough time to go back. You very seldom reshoot anything in soap opera. After all, it's on every day. Think of the amount of material that you go through. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some specific challenges for soaps because they're going through so much material. I would say sometimes the Monday script is very similar to the Tuesday script. And I've had those terrible moments, I think most people who work on soaps have, where I'm in the middle of a scene and I think, oh, no. I'm doing yesterday's scene.
Oh, no.
So there's just sometimes a little shade of difference. The writers work very hard to keep the audience clued into what's going on so no one gets lost. And as a result, sometimes you do a little bit of a recap and the lines may be similar to what you said the day before or 2 days before. But even that is a good mental exercise, right? That you really have to stay on your toes, stay focused, stay in the now. So I think it's a fantastic opportunity. If you can work on a soap, do it.
Mm. Okay, that leads me to my next question. This comes from Crystal from Manhattan, and she said, dear Mara, is there specific training for being a soap opera actor? That's an interesting question. I don't think so, but go ahead, Mara. You know better than I would. Well, it does. I can see where she's coming from, though, maybe.
Sure.
Because, you know, there is, it's a certain way they act. Now, I by no means am a soap opera person. Back in the 80s, I did watch it with my grandmother, Days of Our Lives, or whatever the one that this guy Anthony was on, this Tony DeMarco, whatever one that was. I don't remember what it was, but it was a character, and I got into it for a while. But I did notice that they do have a certain way of acting that kind of differs from the sitcom actor or the really like horror actor. So I guess that's a good question. Mara, what would you say? Is there a specific training for being a soap opera actor?
It is a great question, and you're actually exactly right on the money, Priscilla, in the sense that for each kind of project, you do bring a different aspect of your work. So it's important to understand the context that in which you're working. Sitcom is so different, so distinct. You know, sitcom is about, well, I think it's about the number three. Two isn't funny, four isn't funny, three is funny. And if you watch a sitcom and you want to do a little homework, look for those beats. Ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum. You know? So there's a little bit of a setup, then the next part of the setup, and then the payoff, and that's the three. And comedy is about timing. So some people have it inherently. Some people have to learn it. But it really is a very specific discipline.
Yeah, they do say the three is in comedy. I've heard that. I've never heard it with soap operas, but that's...
No. Soap opera isn't about that. Soap opera is something else. In a way, if when you're on a soap, there's a lot of close-up work, and your eyes are the window to your soul.
Mm.
So it requires tremendous authenticity, even while you're in a soap opera structure, which can sometimes be quite exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all joke about soap opera. Oh my gosh, my life is like a soap opera. Meaning what? You know, meaning there's too much coincidence or too many bad things have all happened to one particular person. Or there are casting changes sometimes in a soap and somebody shows up and he's 6 inches taller and his hair is black, but you're supposed to believe that it's still John Smith. So there are some funny, silly things that happen in soap opera. But you still really need to be present to the reality of those characters. So you don't want to be judging your character or making fun of your character. You want to be so authentic that people really get.
Would that be more geared towards focusing on dramatic acting? Or should you have some comedic chops in there too for the soap opera actor to be a great soap opera actor like Susan Lucci?
You know, when you are an actor, your bag of tricks has to be full. That's why you go to class and you keep going to class and you really never stop going to class. You always want to exercise those chops. You don't know when the director will say, can we have this be a funny moment? Or right. let's take it into a serious moment here and really get the tragedy of what's going on. You never know when that will be called for, whether it's in a soap or episodic or a motion picture, right? So you as the actor, you need to be ready to bring whatever the story needs, whatever the director needs.
So be prepared, people. Bring your full bag of tricks. Now, this one is, this next email comes from Marissa. Oh, by the way, thank you so much, Crystal from Manhattan. Marissa from Westchester, New York. And she says, Mara, it seems like once an actor gets cast on a soap opera, I have to edit as I go because you know how some people send these emails. You're like, what the heck does that mean? Okay. It seems like once an actor gets cast on a soap opera, if they're not written off, they can stay on the show for 30 years or longer. What's the appeal in playing a role for that long? Marissa, Westchester, New York. Thanks, Marissa. Okay, go ahead, Mara.
That's a good question, too, Marissa. These are all great questions. You obviously have very smart listeners who are very tuned into this
business. Thank you. They are all actors.
It's a great. It's a great profession. It's a wonderful thing to do, to bring stories to life as actors. So she is asking, remind me.
Yeah, she said, it seems like once an actor gets cast on a soap opera, if they're not written off, they can stay over 30 years or longer. What's the appeal in playing a role for that long? I personally would say the money, because if they're not kicking you off, it's a job, honey. That's what I would say. But go ahead, Mara.
Money, security, yes, absolutely. There is that appeal of that kind of security, which is so rare in our business.
Yes.
But also, you know, what interested me about soap opera, ultimately what really hooked me and what I learned from Days of Our Lives was the long form of storytelling. And what that is a series of choices. And I think it's quite fascinating to, you know, most stories, it's wrapped up in a bow in 2 hours. Beginning, middle, end, you know what happens. But a longer form of story is closer to reality. So if this choice led to that situation, which in turn led to this situation, if you can look deeply enough, I think you can always find a rather fascinating series of events. That's what would appeal to me. And that's why I've been continuing to write my soap opera for so many years, and it still interests me, because I love character development. Character development is the big diamond for me.
Well, I'm glad that you answered that, because the very last question, I think we kind of answered that for Riley. Riley from King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Riley, for sending the email. She said, what's the appeal? I think we kind of answered that, but I'll just ask the question anyway. What's the appeal? Dear Mara, what's the appeal in general being on a soap opera rather than pursuing jobs in film, theater, sitcoms, nighttime drama? I'm going to personally say I think it's really what you desire and what your craving is and what is of interest to you. Some people, and again, this is my opinion, if you love soap opera, like Mara said, she really loves the long-term character development. If that's something that appeals to you, then soap operas are the perfect venue for you to pursue. If you like different characters and you want to be, if you're a female, if you want to be a beauty pageant contestant one time, you want to be a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer, and these are different characters you want to play, then you probably want to go more for film and sitcoms and nighttime dramas. So I guess it's all what your desires are. What do you think, Mara?
Yes, I agree with that. I also would say there's just the practicality that you go with what you get. If there's an opportunity to audition for something different that you've never tried before, and that appeals to you, by all means, go for it. You never know. I wasn't looking to do soap opera. It was the furthest thing from my mind. And then this door opened, and it turned out to be a wonderfully important door for me. But I've also done other kinds of acting work and other kinds of work in the business, all of which has also been quite fascinating.
Well, soap opera is I don't know how much longer it's been on for 30 plus years. So to end our soap opera segment, because we're kind of done with the soap opera thing, but thank you everybody for sending those questions in. I think it'll be going on for a long time. So if soap opera is something you're interested in, by goodness, check it out, because Mara said it was a very fulfilling career. So she's done other kind of acting as well. But what I want to ask you now, you said you spent a summer co-starring in Sea Marks in the Central Coast. First of all, what was Sea Marks? Tell us all about Sea Marks. S-E-A, by the way, M-A-R-K-S. Tell us all about that. What is it?
It's a two-character play, a beautiful, haunting play about an Irish fisherman and a Welsh editor who's living in Liverpool. Two people who couldn't be more different. They've met long before the play begins, and he remembers having met her and writes her a letter. The whole first half of the play is letters between them. The play was written by Gardner McKay. Gardner was a fantastic writer. Before that, he was an actor on a show way before our time called Adventures in Paradise, which I never saw, but he played a handsome hunk traveling the world on a fancy boat. But he grew up to be an extraordinary writer. So I had found this play, read it, wanted to do it, had made inquiries with, you know, various other actors and theaters, and it didn't seem to be gelling. And I put it aside, and it was actually on my nightstand so that I could keep reading it and rereading it. My manager didn't know this, but one day he called to say, you know, I have another client and he's going to be doing this play and they're looking for the co-star and it sounds perfect for you. And I said, what is it? Sea Mark. And before he could finish saying the name of the play, I said, I'll do it. He said, but I haven't told you what theater. What I said, I don't care. I'll do it. I have to do it. I have to do it. And he said, I guess you know this play. So as it turned out, it was in this little town, and I'd been hearing about the town of Cambria, California, from another dear friend. He kept saying, you must go to Cambria. So, you know, it was one of those a call to adventure experiences where I got it from two different sources, and I felt vectored to go there, you know? Had a fabulous summer. Every single performance was sold out. It was, people drove from L.A. and down from San Francisco and across the state to see the play. It just really touched and moved people. For my co-star's name is Christopher Law, and for both of us, it opened subsequent doors. You know, we got other jobs from this, and for me, you have to picture Priscilla coming from Tokyo, which that time was a city of 11 million, and now I'm suddenly in the town of, you know, like 5,000, and I just had never spent time in a little town, and I became fascinated by it, and that was the genesis of creating a fictional town called Milford Haven based on Cambria, because I thought, wow, this would be an interesting framework for storytelling.
Now, how I think I read in the bio, let me make sure I get that correct, that it ended, okay, so this show became the first, it became an American, the first American radio serial broadcast by the BBC, and you got over 4.5 million listeners. How did you end up getting it on the BBC?
Another interesting story. I tell you, if you are kind of tuned in, you know, and listening not only to your head, but to your heart.
Yeah.
I think that the path opens for you, and you never quite know, but you don't know where it's going to lead, but you can sense when it's the right thing. So this little radio show, I found there was a tiny radio station in Cambria. I approached them, got on the air there. I approached other friends who were actors in other soaps and different, you know, doing different kinds of acting work, put together a fantastic cast, wrote scores of episodes, developed the characters, and so forth. So we went on the air in the Central Coast, and it was like an overnight hit in Cambria, which was certainly very exciting. And then I thought, well, there's a lot of local interest, of course. Let's see, would this work if it were in a different town? I found out that Rochester, New York, is a city known for testing all kinds of products. So I flew to Rochester, rented a car, drove around, found a radio station that was interested, went on the air there, and it became a hit almost immediately there. And I thought, huh, maybe I've got my finger on the pulse of something here. Life in a little town, people having a utopian idea, creating a new life for themselves, fulfilling a vision. And it deals with murder, mayhem, romance, and a lot of other good stuff too, right? Nice and juicy story. So I got it on the air in a few more venues, and it worked every place that it went on the air. So I then began to track some good numbers. I tried approaching American syndicators, but syndication of radio drama at this point, you know, they said, did you notice that you missed radio drama by several decades? Like it was before you were born?
Yeah, you were sitting here telling me this, and I'm in my mind, I'm going, what is she talking about? Is she talking about like the radio mysteries from the 30s and 40s and 50s? I couldn't picture in my head what you were saying, because to me, I'm envisioning listening, gathering the family around the radio, listening to a mystery that they used to have still when I was a child in the 70s and 80s. They still had it on radio. We would hear like the whole family drama or a mystery, a murder mystery. Is that what you're talking about? It's a whole drama with a cast of characters, et cetera, like a play?
It's a full cast of characters. So there is something called OTR, Old Time Radio, which is very popular even now. All kinds of interesting shows, vintage radio shows that are great. But what I created is called, was later called New Time Radio, which takes a more modern story structure, like a soap opera, and puts it in the form of radio. Well, we no longer sit around the big radio in the living room. What we do, though, is we listen to things all the time, right? On the subway, in the car, on the airplane, podcasts, etc. We listen to a great deal of audio programming. So to have radio drama available in an audio form was really working in these markets. Now, this was in the 90s, and people were enjoying, wow, I have something fresh in drive time, or on a Sunday night, I can listen to a half-hour show. We just found an audience. The American syndicators really didn't know what to do with it because it was breaking format for them. But while they were, you know, sort of twiddling their thumbs about it, the BBC heard about the show. And I was at the National Association of Broadcasters. You know, it's one of those conventions where you have a booth and you're standing there and talking about what you're doing. So I was getting a little tired of hearing myself say the same thing. It was the end of the third day. And these two guys came toward the booth and said, you, call this person. Well, there was a producer, BBC producer in London, who'd been hearing about my show and was trying to find me. So I called her, and within 2 weeks, we had this contract. So they had never tried an American radio serial. There hadn't been a new one in quite a long while. So, of course, we were so excited, but then we were also thinking, wow, but we're up against some of the best radio drama in the world. And will they accept it? Will they like it? So about 6 weeks into the broadcast schedule, this producer called me and she said, you might like to pop over. It's doing rather well.
Great accent.
That's when she told me, you know, the $4.5 million. I was like, gulp. Wow. Whoa.
Wow.
So it worked. It was really
fun. How long was it on the air?
It was on for a year. We were contracted to continue, but that particular band of BBC was Radio 5, and they changed format and went to sports, and so they didn't have room for any dramatic programming anymore.
So what, if people wanted to hear that now, do you have it somewhere where people can still hear the show, or do you have any podcasts? Where could we go to hear that?
We are arranging podcasting now. It isn't available yet.
Okay.
The CDs are available, and all they have to do is go to my website or go to havenbooks.net, which is a small publisher that carries a lot of my audio work. And so all the episodes are available on CD.
Oh, I'm going. I got to hear this. This is exciting.
It is really fun, and it's a great cast. It's just a wonderful cast.
Oh, my gosh. That's a very exciting story. Now that helped you to develop the series, developing the series, rather, helped you adapt into your series of novels. And how many novels have you done so far, and where can we buy those?
The novels are what I'm really focusing on now.
Yeah.
And the novels are available everywhere that you can find books. So they're published as ebooks and they're hardcover. They're on Kindle, they're at Amazon.
Are they labeled Milford-Haven USA?
On the covers it will say a Milford-Haven story.
Milford-Haven story.
I think the easiest way to find them is just use my name.
Okay, Mara Pearl. Okay,
mm-hmm. And you'll see all the titles come up.
Okay, and how many do you have now? How many series?
You know, it was interesting as a writer to figure out the structure. There were 100 episodes. So then how many books is that supposed to be?
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm not going to do 100 books. I'm not going to do 50 books, you know. So I'm starting out with 5. I'm starting out with a pentology. There's a murder mystery, which, fair warning, doesn't get solved until, not completely solved, until the end of book 5. But it's such a complicated story with several main characters that I, that's as much as I could condense it.
Mm-hmm.
So the first two novels are out. I'm finishing the third one now and two more to go.
Now, what I do hear that there is a third book in your series that's getting published in the fall, and that's called Why Hearts Keep Secrets.
Yes.
Tell us about it. That sounds exciting. I like the title.
Oh, thank you. Well, as we get, first of all, each of the five novels has the word heart in the title,
okay,
which kind of honors this journey that I mentioned earlier about going from head to heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think in our culture, we tend to focus on the head, and there's nothing wrong with, obviously, we want to be smart. We want to use our heads, our intellect. But our hearts, meaning our intuition, also give very valuable information. And sometimes we are encouraged to ignore that and to think, oh, well, that's just silly. That's just a feeling. So I'm asking myself, am I also listening to my heart? And I'm having my characters answer that question too. Some of them really embrace that part of the journey, like my protagonist, a painter named Miranda, really embraces that side of herself. Other people think it's ridiculous, and they try to ignore it, and then we find out how well that works.
Ah! Now, this you're going to have a major launch in September, and that includes your blog tour. Now, I understand on your last blog tour, you reached 17 million followers. OMG! 2 exclamation points! My God! That is incredible!
We were so stunned. You know, I'm not sure that any of us necessarily totally understand social media, but I do think if you are providing, as you are, a service for your listeners where you're really helping people, there's no question people will tune in.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm doing is touching a nerve and asking questions that other people are asking too.
Right.
So we're looking at issues. On one level, these books are just pure fun, pure escape. On another level, they're going, do I have a life I really wanted? If not, why not? How can I
mm-hmm.
get it?
Mm-hmm.
Looking into my heart, figuring
questioning out your reality, can
questioning
we say?
Questioning your reality. There you go.
Well, you
exactly.
know, you are, I have to read your books just because of one thing alone, if only one thing. When you sent me an email and you wrote the... I was so excited. I was like, who is this person writing? The way you introed that my radio show and described it, just the little blurb that you wrote, I thought, my God, she's a fantastic writer. I was so excited. You made my show more exciting than I could have possibly written.
Well, it is exciting. I mean, I get what you're doing, and I really value it.
I love it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you on the air if I could have permission to use what you wrote for future publishings, because I love it. It is so quality. I couldn't have written it better. I don't think a writer who gets paid $5,000 a month could have written anything better. A PR guy. It's beautiful.
It's my pleasure. Please
let me
share.
Use that. I love it. And the last thing, because we have, you're not going to believe this, but we have like 5 minutes left, and I want to.
Oh my gosh!
It goes so fast. I want to talk about. Now I know you've got Act Right, which was a bestseller in the small niche market of books for actors, and I know that you're in the process of updating the information, and you're going to be publishing it as a series of revised ebooks. So are you still right now in the pre-publishing phase, or all your updates done, or what's going on with the Act Right book? Is that the book that you're co-writing with Aaron Gray? Is that
yes,
the
it is.
Okay,
yes.
Tell us
Aaron
about
and
that.
I just we had such a great adventure writing this book together. It took several years. We interviewed people from every discipline within the film and television business and asked them, what do you wish actors knew? And invariably they would say, oh boy, sit down, I have a lot to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had a chapter dealing with each individual thing, whether it was wardrobe or whether it was makeup or whether it was how to deal with your script or how to audition. And what we realized was each one of these is really going to be a valuable ebook unto itself. that an actor can download just what they need when they need it. But we want to make sure that the information is updated. What we find, for example, we're working first on auditioning, and the actual process of auditioning has not changed and probably will not change. But the technology has changed. The way people communicate and process information has changed. So we want to make sure we get the latest and greatest info. So we've now finished our new interviews for that, and we're just polishing that up. And so, yes, we are in the pre-publication phase. We have a special Facebook page just for Act Right, and we will be announcing, you know, when each ebook is released.
And for people who do not know who Erin Gray is, would you do the honor of telling us who this gorgeous, beautiful woman is? I'm going to let you take it away.
Oh, Erin is a most remarkable human being. At this point in her life, she is a mentor, a teacher. She's running a fabulous company called Heroes for Hire. She gets people who are working particularly in science fiction series out to events to really meet the people who are their followers. And that's why she, at the moment, is in London doing one of her events. Her career began as a model and rose so very quickly to become one of the first top models. She then transitioned, moving from New York to Los Angeles, and tells a tremendously funny story about, does she get to start with a small part? No. She starts with a leading role opposite Glenn Ford and has no idea how to behave on a set. Totally different from modeling. And so she's constantly putting her foot in her mouth and having all kinds of problems, which are hilarious and very useful. Mm-hmm. And that was the impetus on her side for telling the stories that we put into Act Right. You know, Erin and I are both hikers, and we used to meet every morning. And as we would go up the mountainside, we would sort of outline the things we were wrestling with and dealing with. And then on the way down, we would solve them all. Well, we started sharing stories about all the stupid stuff we did when we were young actors trying to get started. And we would giggle, and then we would say, you know, this really is valuable information. There's probably a book about this. Well, we went to Samuel French, which is the store where all actors go to get their materials. You know, there was no book about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so we realized we need to write this. So we did, and what a journey.
And for those of you who are sci-fi buffs, she was our lovely, gorgeous Erin Gray, who, another one I wish I looked like. I tell you, so many beautiful women in the world. Buck Rogers, she was, I believe, Wilma Deering in Buck Rogers.
Some of the big ones. Colonel Wilma, yes.
Yeah, Colonel Wilma, that's right, yeah. Colonel, I forgot the title. She was Kate Summers, Stratton, or Kate Summers on Silver Spoons, of course. And
Silver Spoons was a real breakthrough as well, in that she, I believe, that was the first character to be a working mother and a stepmother.
Mm-hmm.
Now we take these roles for granted, but
right.
Erin has been a role model in both of these important roles.
Well, I'm excited to have you and Erin Gray come back on the show, which you promised me you would, because you have so many stories. I will be rolling over in my grave unless we get all of your stories out there, Mara. We have so many. Can you believe a whole hour has gone by?
I don't even believe the clock. No.
See
so
that? I know. You are so funny. You have so much to talk about. And actors, thank you so much for sending in those questions. I know that Mara answered them completely. And for those of you, now that I'm looking at my email, I have 17 more people, and I feel so sad that I couldn't get them all in. But I have begged Mara to come back on. She's going to come back on, and she's going to come on with Erin Gray. So look for that coming up. And then, Mara, if it's okay with you, I'd love to have you come back on again to answer the rest of the questions, if that wouldn't be too much.
It would be such a joy.
Okay, so there... Mara Pearl says she will. We've got her commitment on the radio. She said she will come back on and answer the question. So I will keep your email special, and I'll send you an email and let you know when she's coming back on. Please go to her website, marapearl.com, M-A-R-A-P-U-R-L.com. Go to Heroes for Hire. We didn't even get to talk about Heroes for Hire, but we're going to get the website in there, heroesforhire.us. Also go to facebook.com for Act Right Books, and Amazon.com for all of Mara Pearl's little books, her little series on, give the title.
New book coming out is Why Hearts Keep Secrets. Other books that are already out are What the Heart Knows and Where the Heart Lives.
Oh, my God. Heart, heart, heart. I heart you, Mara Pearl. I heart you. Say goodbye to your fans, because we are over time. Bye, everyone, and say goodbye, Mara, to
thank
all your
fans. You. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mara. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.